It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX. Welcome back to it. Hi there, Kelly.
Hello.
Enjoy your long weekend.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, it was nice. Nice to have a couple days off there in a row, so that was kind of fun. Back at...
You had a birthday, too.
I did. I snuck a birthday in there. Hashtag Team Virgo. Virgo season is upon us, so that's always exciting. My daughters, they... loved to, or at least the theme was pointing out how old I was in the cards that they made for me, which
of course,
you know, is always nice to see that they have a sense of humor, and
kids are great at that.
It's like, listen, you'll be there soon too.
Oh wow. Famous
blink
last words.
Blink, yes. And it'll be you. Yeah, so anyways, it was a good day. You know, hung out, saw some family, and my Isabel and Sophia, the two college age daughters, they came and did laundry and got to hang out with them. So it was kind of like, you know, the gang was back together. So that was kind of fun.
That's so awesome. It's like, hey, Dad, for your birthday, I'm going to let you do my laundry. Yay.
Now, to be fair, I didn't do any of the laundry. They did their own laundry.
That's good.
They just used our laundry facilities. And then they were like, hey, we also need some groceries. So can we use your debit card to go out and get groceries? So yeah, you know, my birthday, hey, why don't I treat you to some groceries too?
That's such a dad thing to do.
I know, right? So yeah, it was a good weekend, and hopefully you had a good at least, you know, 3-day weekend to enjoy, you know, just hanging out, maybe grilling, doing some stuff like that.
We took it as an opportunity to go from the, hey, we're thinking about doing this, we'll compile some ideas, redoing a half bath, to actually doing it.
Oh, yeah?
It was kind of unexpected.
Yeah, that happens a lot in my house.
Yeah.
Where it's, and actually it almost happened this weekend, where it was like, hey, let's do this. But my wife spared me. She was like, you know what? I figured since it was your birthday weekend, I would spare the springing on a home project. Yeah. Right. So I'm like, well, that'll be next weekend.
We launched our kids into doing it. I mean, it entails taking wallpaper down.
All right.
So the two of them knocked out quite a bit of it, which was impressive. And then my husband's all like, well, let me see if I could do a little tap tap on the floor just to see, you know, how's that tile going to come up?
Mm-hmm.
There's a hole in the floor now, and that's going to be a little bit more of a project than, you know, what we anticipated, but we got most, I would say 2/3 of the wallpaper down, which is impressive.
Well,
changes the look already.
That sounds very similar to what happened to me a couple months ago when my wife was tapping on some tile in our bathroom and started noticing some tile just coming off. And I'm like, how big of a project are you trying to make for me?
Yeah,
I ended up getting it fixed, but it took a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. This one's going to take a minute.
Yeah, for sure.
That's fun.
It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX. Don't want to freak you out, but yes, there is fog in the area. High, heavy fog, low viewing. Make sure that you are baby powdering it up this morning.
My God.
Yeah, for sure. On a National Read a Book Day, which is today.
Fun.
I thought it might be fun to take a look at Brian Regan. He's a comedian. His take on reading to your kids.
You're supposed to read to your kids, even when they're babies, so I've always done that. I don't know who's writing books for babies, but I want a piece of that financial pie. I put my daughter on my lap with this big cardboard book, The Clock. The Big Clock. TikTok. The end. $12. And there's a synopsis on the back that is longer than the actual book, and I'm not exaggerating.
Sit down with your children and you will delight as you read about the adventures of the ticking clock. Sometimes it goes tick and sometimes it goes talk, which just goes to show you you never can be too sure in life, because sometimes things are one way, but they are about to change. Are you talking about this book? You can't possibly be talking about this book.
Brian Regan there on reading to your kids. It's true, though.
Absolutely.
Some of those books, man.
We missed the boat. We could have been children's writers.
I know, right? It's 99.7 EJX. Coming up next, Kate Moss's interesting story about how she got her first set of diamonds. Go.com. It's the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show. Now, Kelly, I don't know if you saw the new video that British Vogue did with Kate Moss. First of all, Kate Moss, supermodel from like back in the 90s, right?
Sure, yeah.
Early 2000s.
She was just recently as part of the whole Johnny Depp trial because he used to date.
Right. And actually, yeah, that is the piece of audio that I want to play for you. So,
okay.
So British Vogue asked Kate Moss to just talk about these like series of iconic fashion pictures of her. And so there was a particular one from the 90s when she was dating her then boyfriend, Johnny Depp, that she recalled the diamond necklace that she was wearing.
Okay.
And where she got it. She actually got it as a gift from Johnny. And that was the first time that she had ever even gotten a diamond ever.
Wow.
Yeah. From Johnny Depp. But the way he gave it to her was kind of unique.
And that diamond necklace Johnny gave me, they were the first diamonds I ever owned.
Oh, the first diamonds I ever owned.
Oh, it's very special.
Yeah.
He poured them out the crack of his arm.
I'm sorry, back the truck up. Did she say what I think she said?
Pulled them out the crack of his butt.
We were going out for dinner, and he said, I've got something on my bum. Can you have a look? And I was like, what? And I put my hand down his trousers, and I pulled out a diamond necklace.
Oh, he put a diamond necklace in the crack of his butt, and it was like,
did he not have a better hiding spot for that? I get it, he wanted it to be a surprise, but oh my goodness.
So, question, you get a beautiful diamond necklace. Are you putting Johnny Depp's butt crack diamonds around your neck? Immediately.
I am letting it soak in jewelry cleaner for at least 24 hours, maybe 48. I'm not sure.
I mean, Kelly, though, wouldn't it be rude, though, not to at least try on the diamond necklace there?
Oh, God.
That definitely has some stank on it.
Listen, it's been in a place where, yeah, no. I would be like, oh, babe, I really appreciate the thought behind this. That is gorgeous. How about we put it in this cleaner here for just a little bit?
Well, they're out in restaurants.
Wear it
so,
with pride.
I mean, they're at a restaurant, so she probably doesn't have cleaner on her. So God,
we don't put that on the table, do we? Do we put it immediately on our neck from, is that what I'm saying. About?
Are you taking
from trousers to neck?
Are you taking it from his crack, putting it on your neck? You're like, oh, it's
well,
beautiful.
Well, apparently, did she say, apparently, I'm guessing she did. I mean,
that's right.
Like, hey, can you go ahead and put that back where you got it?
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I would love to wear that later after we get it cleaned.
See, I think that's where you're probably a little bit different than Kate Moss or even me. Like if someone gave me a diamond necklace out of the crack of their butt, I probably would put it on and then later maybe sanitize it. Yeah.
Taking the showers.
I mean, but in the moment, I'm excited. I'm an excited girl, you know? I'm getting my first diamond. I'm like, oh, and I'm putting that thing around my neck. Johnny's crack diamonds.
Oh my God.
All right.
Oh my God.
We'll have to tweet out the video so you can see it.
Oh, I don't think we. Oh, well, yeah, we're not seeing the actual.
No, we're not.
She didn't share, though. She didn't have a video of the moment.
No,
right?
No, she doesn't.
Just
it's just
telling about the moment.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. We'll tweet that out. Okay. At Ben and Kelly Show. Now, Kelly, if I say, what's a setting the bar story, you would say...
I would say it's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah, so this is one of those that kind of straddle the feel-good lane and the setting the bar lane.
Okay, I love these.
First of all, dude's going to recover, all right? So that's good.
That's good news.
But you're not going to believe what happened to this guy in Ohio when he was trimming a tree for his grandma.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so if you can manage to make it through the day without getting stung by 20,000 bees while you're trimming that tree for your grandma, you're doing okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is one of those, we hope you don't find yourself in the situation that 20-year-old Austin was in when he was trimming the tree branches high up for his grandma when he unknowingly cut into a bee's nest.
Oh, gosh. Oh, they were angry.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we're like, dude, why are you cutting my house?
For sure. So obviously they did what bees do, and they started stinging him.
Oh, my gosh.
It looked like, according to his mom, he had a black blanket from his head to his neck onto his arms
from all
the bees that were on top of him. He was stung at least 20,000 times. And
oh, my goodness. How did he survive?
And swallowed almost 30 bees as well. I mean, he went into a coma, he's expected to recover fully. So that is good news.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Oh my gosh.
It wasn't the same thing, but I remember when I was mowing my lawn, and I saw bees, like several bees, kept coming out of this hole in the ground, and I'm like, the heck? And so, you know, I'm a guy. I've got a lawnmower. Yeah, what do you think I did?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I mow over it, and same deal, like about a dozen bees or more just start flowing out of this hole, and I just bolt and run away. Almost immediately, there were bees up my shorts. That's how quickly it all happened. So,
well, yeah, and at least you were on the ground and you could run away.
Yes.
This guy was so far up the tree,
right?
Like no one could even reach him.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like he didn't fall and injure himself that way. So,
oh my gosh.
Anyways, yeah, it's fortunate that this guy's going to be okay. He's going to recover, but. Again, one of those that straddles the setting the bar feel-good lane. The feel-good meaning he's going to be okay.
Right. He survived all that.
Yeah, setting the bar being let's try to not be in the same situation Austin was and cut into a bee nest when you're up in a tree trimming the branches for your grandma.
Well, you know what? I think he probably gets a pass for that chore now.
He at least owns some fresh baked cookies from his grandma.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. And we call someone else to do that next time.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So again, setting the bar. If you can manage to make it through the day without getting stung by 20,000 bees when you're trimming a tree for your grandma, you're doing okay.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That is setting the bar. Our DMs are open at Ben and Kelly Show, social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Derek sent us a message, and basically it's, at what point do you get involved?
This would be really awkward for me, but it says, hey, Ben and Kelly, got a question. Let me preface this by saying I'm not a prude, but recently my wife and I went to see a movie in a small theater.
Mm-hmm.
In the row in front of us, a woman became increasingly amorous with her date.
Oh, my.
She first leaned over, kissed his cheek. Then she took off her shoes, put her legs on his lap, and started kissing his neck.
That's sweet.
Then they started the lip lock session,
mm-hmm.
all while we were trying to watch the movie. My wife, who had to look through their hookup to watch the screen, lean forward and ask them to break it up.
Oh, what a block.
Fortunately, they did. Must have decided to carry on elsewhere as they didn't come back.
Mm.
So my question is, at what point is it reasonable to ask people to get a room? And what would you suggest saying? Thanks and love your show.
All right.
Kind of interesting because it sounds like his wife handled it.
Right. Well, maybe he was like embarrassed by it or something. Or
yeah,
embarrassed
maybe
that is
like, hey, was she right to do that?
Yeah. Embarrassed that his wife jumped in and got involved. It really depends on the situation. If it's just me, and I've only seen a movie by myself a handful of times. Mm-hmm. But if I'm by myself, maybe I'm not worried about it unless I can't see the screen in front of me. which, you know, now they have those theater style seating in most theaters, so you should be able to see the movie.
You should, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that we were at the theater, it was just like a couple of months ago,
mm-hmm.
and there were like a row of teenagers that were sitting right next to us. And this one girl, bless her heart, I don't think that she realized how loud she was being, but she was digging into the crinkly bag, right, forever. And then she was taking the straw. Her drink was done. There mm-hmm. was nothing left in the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And she just kept taking the straw up and down in the lid. You know how it makes that sound?
Yeah.
Was doing that for a good 30 minutes. And finally, you know, he leans over and he's just like, hey, can you stop that? Thanks. Her parents were right behind her.
Mm-hmm.
They said nothing. It was getting to the point where it was so distracting. All I could hear was that happening right next to me and not the movie.
I mean, typically I like to let those do their own thing and I just kind of stay in my own lane.
Right. In that situation, though, what would you do? Someone's making so much noise for most of the movie. Do you say something?
Man, I don't know. Maybe.
Sucking the joy out of watching the movie.
If they're being so distracting, whether they're, you know, making out or they're
making noise with their snacks,
I may say something. It's going to take a lot, though, for me to say something. And right. So, I mean, Derek, I think your wife handled it pretty well, it sounds like. You know, if she was just kind of leaning forward and saying, hey, you know, some of us are trying to watch the movie here and not you guys.
They clearly weren't watching.
No, they weren't getting the plot at all.
No. And I think, you know, in that case, I think she did the right thing if it was distracting her. Now, you know, there could be, if there's other seats in the theater, you could get up and move.
Yeah.
We didn't have that option.
Yeah, that's another thing where it's like, all right, is it up to you to move or is it up to the people who are being distracting to move?
Well, no, it would be you. If you're not going to say anything, that would be one way you can handle it in a passive aggressive way. Because it's obvious if you're getting up and moving, but you're staying in the theater, you're just going to go sit somewhere else. It's going to be obvious to them that you moved because of them.
Well, probably not, because if they're in front of you and you are getting up and moving, you know,
that's true.
Behind you. I mean, they may not even know.
Yeah, the couple making out probably won't notice. But if it's a snacks kind of a situation.
Well, maybe. Like the snacks thing, I think is maybe a little bit different because everybody makes noise and they can't necessarily, I guess,
No, you predict. Can. When there is no drink left in the cup and you're just moving the straw up and down and the lid making the noise.
Oh, okay. I guess
And lots of crinkle
right.
in the bag just incessantly. Yeah, for like a good solid 30 minutes.
Yeah. Man, you sound like, we sound like, get off my lawn!
I'm just saying, you pay good money to go see a movie in the theater, right?
Yeah.
Let's just have some common courtesy for the people around you in the theater. You're all in that together, right? You want to have a good experience.
All right, so Derek, I think your wife was all right. She did the right thing. So just take her example and...
Let her handle it?
Let that be your answer.
Let her be the one to always handle that. She's got it covered. Graham was like, I thought if you were going to go to the show specifically for the, then you're supposed to sit in the back.
Well, maybe they weren't planning on doing it specifically for the makeout session.
Yeah, maybe they just were inspired.
Yeah, maybe it was in the moment sort of thing. You can't handle that when that takes over, right?
You can't help it, right? No, when the mood strikes you.
Right. All right. Well, Derek, hopefully that helps.
Your wife handled it the right way.
Right. Exactly. And if you want to message us or anything, have us work something out for you.
Yeah, he goes by Shane. He's 16.
He shredded My Hero on drums with the Foo Fighters for their tribute concert over the weekend.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have one more drummer that's going to come up and play with us tonight. He's a member of our family. He needs to be here tonight with all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Mr. Shane Hawkins on the drums.
I didn't say Shane, sorry.
Shane starts this song.
I mean, how cool is that? So he's playing this while images of him with his dad were on screen around the stadium, there at Wembley Stadium.
Amazing.
I know. Yeah,
Sounds like he got his dad's talent.
Yeah, for 100%. Sure. For sure. You can see that entire video. It's posted at WDJX.com. Some local Louisville firefighters, maybe even some EMS, could make it onto the big screen in 99.7 DJX. It's a movie called Muzzle, and they were filming here apparently in early August. And I guess it got a little bit of news just because... they were filming in parts of Portland, and like nobody who lives in Portland knew that this film crew was actually filming.
they put homeless camps up to make it look like L.A.,
right?
But like nobody got the memo.
I know, and people are
in
like,
that particular district. They knew about it in one district, but it spilled over into another district that they didn't know about.
Exactly. So people are like, what is going on here? Right, exactly. But now, I guess, the Zonton Fire Department could be a part of the film as they could be...
The extras?
Yes. Extras, background actors.
Yeah. Aaron Eckhart is a star of the movie, from what I've read.
Now, he was in The Dark Knight, right?
He's done a bunch of stuff, yes. I think he played Two-Face in one of the Batmans. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been The Dark Knight.
So,
yeah,
really,
he's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah, the fire department is, I guess, just trying to figure out if their scenes are actually going to make the final cut. The movie's not going to debut until next year, but what's wild about it is it has nothing to do with Louisville. It's
L.A.
This is a location that they've scouted. And
right,
so,
to make it look like L.A. That's why they popped up all the homeless camps. And then they were upset there because they weren't necessarily quick to clean up.
Mm.
And I think they sprayed a bunch of graffiti, too.
I don't know if they sprayed it or if they chose it because they liked that graffiti wall that was already there in Portland.
Could be.
I've heard a couple different stories, but anyway, stupid Hollywood messing
stupid
everything up.
Stupid Hollywood not giving us a heads up.
So yeah, that'd be kind of cool though to see and maybe recognize. I don't know if you're going to recognize anything like Louisville based.
Well, they're hoping that you don't because they're trying to make it look like L.A.
L.A. Right, right. So anyways, that's kind of cool. All right, coming up next, it's one of those classics that actually. We got a request for, which, you know, you request songs. I guess
why not request bits?
I guess you can request a phone tap. And so, you know, we'll dig into our archives and bring it back up. This one from 2017. So it's
get out.
Yeah. So it's been a few years since we played this, but it literally involves Lee's brother-in-law, who's a mattress salesman. And I wonder if he still works at the mattress store.
I'm going to go ahead and assume he does.
Kentucky Anna is getting clowned. Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
So yeah, Lee wrote to us, said, "Hey, Ben and Kelly, are you still looking for people to do a prank call? My brother-in-law is a mattress salesman. I always tease him about it because a mattress salesman seems like a goofy job. Maybe you can do a phone tap, have some fun with it." I wouldn't say it's goofy. I mean, people need to buy mattresses, right?
Yeah, for sure. And this is one of those classics we originally did back in 2017. And to take you back to that time, Kelly and I also, we talked about a mattress store here in town.
Yes.
A lot.
They paid us to talk about them on the radio a lot. They were kind of a little character on the show for quite a while.
Yeah, so here's your phone tap.
Hello, it's Mattress. This is Christopher. How can I help you?
Hi, Christopher. My wife and I are shopping for a new mattress, and I'd love some help.
Yeah, I'd love to help you. Let's see. We actually have a big sale going on this week, so it'd be a great time for you to come on in.
Yeah, I heard about it on DJX. You have a lot of mattresses?
Yes, we usually have about 40 mattresses on display.
And would we be allowed to try them out?
Yeah, of course. That's why they're here, you know? We'd love for you to come on down and check them out.
And we can lie on the mattresses?
Yes. Yeah, you can come into the store and you can try a few out. You can lie on them, you know, give them a little test run. That's perfect.
perfect. We want to try them all out.
Okay. I guess you could do that. That's fine.
Perfect. What time do you close?
Well, we are open until 9 p.m. tonight.
All right, perfect. We'd like to come down there at 9 then.
I'm sorry. Okay, you misunderstood me. No, we close at 9.
Right. So 9 o'clock?
No, okay. No, 9 is when we close.
Right. So here's the thing. My wife and I are kind of shy. We can't really lay on beds with other people around and all the lights on. So we'd like to come in after you close and spend some time trying each mattress out, you know, when it's quiet and dark.
No, wait a minute.
Yeah, if you have a bunch of mattresses, we'd like to spend about, you know, 15 minutes on each one, you know, before you open back up in the morning.
Come on, okay? We don't want people in the store after hours.
Oh. You can't bend the rules?
I'm sorry, you can't be sleeping here while we're closed.
I mean, we weren't going to be doing any sleeping.
Oh, God!
Wait a minute. You think you could come in here and fool around on our mattresses at night?
Well, how else are we going to know which one is right?
Okay, I'm going to hang up now.
Wait. We are planning to buy one of the mattresses. We just need to test drive.
No, it won't.
It first. But by tomorrow morning, you will have a sale, guaranteed.
Sorry, I don't need a sale that bad.
Hang on. I don't see what the big deal is. I talked to your brother-in-law, Lee. He said you'd help me out.
What? You know Lee?
Don't really know him, but he did email us here at 9970JX and said we could put you on the radio with one of our phone taps.
What? Wait, I'm on the radio? Like right now?
Yes, Christopher. It's Ben Davis from 997DJX.
Oh, man. That's nuts.
I mean, you're going to have a guaranteed sale. It'll see the problem.
You know, mattress number 2, not as firm as mattress number 4.
Okay.
I enjoyed
firmer's
that one.
Firmer's a little better.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. Classic there. I don't know if you follow the TikTok account Recess Therapy.
I don't. Never heard of it.
But they interview little kids. It's just, you know, they go around and they interview little kids and they see what silly stuff they'll say. So you probably heard or at least seen people talk about this kid who has a love. And his love is corn.
For me, I really like corn.
What do you like about corn?
Ever since I was told that corn was real.
Ever since I was told that corn was real.
Oh, okay.
It tasted good.
Did you think corn wasn't real?
But when I tried it with butter, everything changed.
And when I tried it with butter, everything changed.
Yes, it does. Elevated to the next level.
I love corn. Corn.
Corn.
So not everyone has to like it to be the best.
Yeah.
Everyone just has to try it. Have a bite.
What else are your favorite things?
I play a variety of games.
Play a variety of games?
Yep.
Seek.
Hide and seek.
Yeah.
Egg. Never lava monster.
Never lava monster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly cone.
Yeah, but he loves mostly corn.
Mostly cone.
I mean, then look at this then. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing.
He's admiring his half-eaten roasted corn.
I mean, never seen a more beautiful thing.
It's cone. Look at this. Because corn is awesome!
Can you describe corn to someone who's never tasted it before?
A big lump with knobs. It has the juice.
Big lump
it
with
has
knobs.
The juice. It's
has
juicy.
The juice, yep.
Yeah.
It's the part that mostly makes me like the cone.
How much do you think corn should cost?
$1.
Yeah, $1. Yeah, for
agreed.
Sure.
I hope you really have a corn-tastic day.
A corn-tastic day?
Oh my God, I love
this.
What? It's just a pun about corn.
It's just a pun about corn. Yeah, so this kid literally has gone viral because of his
it's
love
so great.
Of corn.
If you come to me, I can tell you all about it.
Yeah, to the point where there have been songs and remixes made of the Corn Kid.
Oh, wow.
For me, I really like corn.
What do you like about corn?
It's corn. Ha ha.
Oh my God, that slaps.
And then even Kevin Bacon, who maybe some of you know, maybe some of you don't know. Kevin Bacon is an actor. He did an acoustic version of the Korn song.
It's Korn. A big lump with knobs, it has the juice.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look at this thing. It's Korn.
He's playing it with an ear of Korn, the guitar. He's playing the guitar with an ear
That's
of Korn.
That's fantastic.
I can tell you all about it. And when I tasted it with butter, everything changed.
It did, yeah.
It's Korn.
It is.
Big love with knobs, has the juice.
Yeah, but seriously, it's all about this kid.
I really like Korn.
What do you like about Korn?
Ever since I was told that Korn was real, it tasted good.
I mean, yes. And this is pure. This is pure joy at something so natural and wholesome like Korn. I love it.
Ever since I was told it was real.
I just thought it was like magical. I didn't think it was real when I got to taste it.
Yeah.
It's good.
I love Korn. Korn.
Korn.
So oh, anyways. My God, that kid needs to be the new Korn spokesperson. I don't know if Korn needs commercials, but if so, that kid needs to be hired.
Well, he's certainly living his viral fame right now. But
wow.
But yeah, we'll tweet out the TikTok that kind of sent him there. At Ben and Kelly Show. Have you ever received a gift, but then told you're not allowed to use it?
I mean, no, unless it's like something that you have to wait for.
It's 99.7 DJX. That's almost worse when someone's like, hey, I got you a present, but you're going to have to wait another 2 weeks because it's a moon back order. Or it hasn't arrived yet.
Or it's an event that's not happening for several months. Tickets to.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, I think that's good, though, because then you look forward to that and you're like, yeah, all right, this is great. But my birthday was yesterday and I received a very good bottle of bourbon. And was immediately told, yep, that's for your bourbon shelf, but you're not going to taste it.
No drinky drinky.
Because that's going to last you. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well,
were there stipulations on an occasion that would garner that being popped open?
I think eventually that we will come to that, you know, determination ourselves where it's like, all right. So
do you need to ask permission? Is now a good time?
Yeah, that might be a thing where I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about breaking this out. Oh, what do you?
And then do you need to also be with the person that gifted it to you? Like, was a stipulation like you can't open this and drink it unless I'm with you?
Yeah, I know that is typically a thing when, you know, you give good bottles of like liquor or something like that. It's like, yeah.
Was it Pappy?
We'll crack this open sometime special. No, it wasn't. I'm like, all right, well, this is fun. And it is also one of those projects that I was going to do because I don't have a bourbon shelf, but I want one.
I was going to say, do you have one of those?
No, I don't. But I want one.
So you're starting one.
And I've been talking about like getting bourbons to put on my bourbon shelf. So my wife was like, here's a good bottle of bourbon to put on your bourbon shelf, but you can't drink it. It's to be put on your bourbon shelf.
So your wife got this for you, mm-hmm. knowing that you don't have a bourbon shelf yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Precious.
I mean, I'm excited to display it. And I think that there will be a time when we can, you know, pop it open, but it's not going to be any time in the near future.
Okay, so then now do you feel obligated to go buy more bourbon to put on now your not yet constructed bourbon shelf?
That's where I maybe should have filled you in. I have been buying bourbon to put on this not yet constructed bourbon shelf.
Okay, so you do have, this is not just a lone bottle that's now by itself and needs friends. You got enough to put on a bourbon shelf. You just got to build the bourbon shelf?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. Yeah. And so
now they're just living in a cabinet somewhere, not being seen?
Right, exactly.
Got it.
She was like, look, you know, this is good, but you're not going to have it.
Oh,
all right.
Tragic.
All right. So I just need to find a friend who has a bottle of this. Is like, hey, can I try some of that? Because I ain't going to have any.
I just want to know what it tastes like. I'm not going to open it. I just want to know.
So, yeah, I just thought that was a very unique gift where it's like, here's a gift. You can't have it.
Right. Yes. No, just look at it.
Right.
It's just for looking.
Right. Exactly.
No touchy.
Anyways, I just thought that was funny. And yeah.
No, but you know what? In the same way, there are so many really, really pretty bourbon bottles, like really unique look, and they look cool sitting on your bar. We've got a basement bar, so we like have a ton of them like displayed.
Well, and we have, and I know you do too, several of those special edition Woodford that are from Kentucky Derbies.
We buy one every year.
And I have a bunch of those that yes. I haven't cracked into.
Again, they're just to look at the pretty labels. Those are not for drinking.
Right, right. So
there's plenty of plain Woodford bottles that you can drink from. Not those, though.
Right.
Those are no touchy.
So it's just one of those where it's like, okay, well,
here's the look at
here
bourbon.
It is. This is the look at drink. Bourbon you can never have. Exactly. But here's the stuff in the cabinet's what I'm going to give you. The stuff exactly. on the bourbon shelf that I haven't yet constructed is what is going to just be looked at. So
you know what they're like? They're like display pillows right. or display towels. You have display towels in the bathroom that you do not use. They're just for looks or for decoration. Same thing with the pillows.
Uh-huh.
Those you don't lay on.
Yeah.
They just look pretty yeah. sitting there.
Yeah, that's true. Gifts that you can have, but you can't have.
Display bourbon.
I was just gifted that yesterday, so I feel,
well, you know what?
I feel blessed.
It's going to look really cool whenever you get that shelf.
As soon as I get it constructed. Yeah, and I think this was also like a nudge, like, hey.
Hey.
You've been talking about it a while. We're running out of cabinet space. Let's go ahead and get this thing rolling.
Yes. That way you can reclaim the cabinet space for the yeah. things you're actually going to eat.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And Kelly Kay.
So this is just kind of amazing. Eric is a really good neighbor. And Good Morning America is highlighting Good Neighbor Month. Eric fits that description to a T. He's been helping others in his community with tons of different odd jobs, like taking in groceries, building ramps, assembling trampolines, picking up trash.
It could be anybody asking for anything, really, at this point. Bring in my groceries, build me a ramp, too. I'm on a fixed income. I have no capacity to do a simple fix. I think being a good neighbor has the potential to change the climate of our country. It's being willing to knock on a door to see who's home and what's going on, to make sure someone's okay.
He's a blessing. If more people was like him, the world would be so much better.
Wow, that's cool.
I mean, agreed. He just does so much. And State Farm even pitched in $10,000 to in his name to the charity of his choice. He got a poster from Marvel of him as a superhero.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's going to check out Marvel Avengers Campus at Disney's California Adventureland.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So, yeah, pretty good little prize there. You can see his story up at WDJX.com.
Evan, DJX, yeah. As, you know, people are back to the offices and everything and all that stuff, I guess you got to start worrying about what you're wearing to work again. And that's kind of the case that we have here with group therapy on the way.
Yeah, like what's appropriate for the office.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think it's probably a case-by-case situation because, you know, what may be appropriate if, say, you work in maybe show-and-tell girls right over here off of Chestnut.
That's where you go immediately?
Could be different than if you work at Humana.
Yes, 1,000% different.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Job description's different.
Right, exactly. Like, your place of work, your environment could lend...
Requires a different uniform.
...to a different uniform, for
yes,
sure.
100%. Okay. All right. I was going to say gym. You work in a gym. Not going to be the same as Humana. But you go to show and tell. All right. Uh-huh.
So anyways, we've got one of those kind of issues. But now he's kind of worried. I think it's a he. Honestly, this was submitted through our website. So was pretty anonymous there. So, but anyways, this person, I'll say, is now maybe worried that... They may be an HR issue. Oh, it is a he. Yes, that's right. It is a he.
Okay.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Okay, so dig in. This is kind of a long one. It says, Ben and Kelly, I've got an interesting situation I need your help with.
All right.
I'm a supervisor in an office setting. I've been having a tough time at work.
Okay.
I have a new girl working for me, and she's a handful. This girl is fresh out of college, very unprofessional. The biggest issue is that she always comes to work dressed inappropriately.
Okay.
I think I've seen this girl's belly every day she's been with us. Mm. Normally would care less, but I'm responsible for all of the new hires. I'm the newest department head, and it's my responsibility to take care of things before they blow up and become a file down at Human Resources.
Gotcha.
Upper management made it clear they want the department heads to keep things under control. Our company dress code is very clear. It states, clothing that reveals too much cleavage, your back, your chest, your feet, your stomach, or your underwear is not appropriate for a place of business.
All right, so probably not working at the show and tell.
Exactly. This is not okay.
Okay.
I took her aside and mentioned that the clothes she wears are too small for a business setting, and she giggled. I made it clear I wasn't joking, told her to refrain from wearing blouses that show her belly. The next day, she showed up in a low-cut dress with her chest on full display. A couple of the older women made comments to me, so I called her to my office, went over the dress code with her, and instead of apologizing, she got irritated with me. She was acting like I'm a pervert for checking her out, and now I'm worried this girl's going to accuse me of sexual harassment or something. So my plan is to have a female employee take photos of this girl's inappropriate work outfits. That way I'll have some evidence. But before I do this, is that a good idea? And does anybody have advice out there for me? Thanks. This is tough because, I mean, it's his job as a department head. So I don't know if he's got a female peer that could step in and talk to her. I get his fears.
Yeah, I do too. And neither Kelly or I are in HR. So
no, I want no part of being management. Nope. So
We don't necessarily have a, hey, coming from HR. And he's trying to make sure it doesn't get to HR. And now he's worried that he could be an HR issue.
Right. He's worried that she's going to flip the script and be like, no, he was being inappropriate to me and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, outside of just getting HR involved, and I know that the department, your upper management was like, hey, let's make sure all of this doesn't get to HR. Maybe that's where you have to do, though.
He's made several attempts now to squash it, and now she is obviously not complying.
Now, she hasn't done what he's worried she's going to do yet. She hasn't accused him of any sort of harassment or anything like that.
That she's going to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So 502-571-9970. That's why we call this group therapy.
This is above our pay grade.
Maybe if you are in HR, or maybe you are a manager who's had to deal with this sort of situation.
Yeah, that's who we need to hear from for sure. People have had some experience with this. Allison on Facebook, by the way, says, don't take the photos. Ask an HR rep, preferably a female, to get involved and accompany you with the conversation with the employee. Have someone in on the conversation with you the next time you address it.
502-571-9970. We'll hear what you have to say. Yes. Coming up next, one of those situations with group therapy where he's in charge of handling things before they become an HR issue.
Yeah, he's the manager, and he's got an issue with an employee that he's been trying to handle, but the employee is not letting it be handled when it comes to her inappropriate dress. But now he's afraid that she's going to flip the script and, like, accuse him of being harassing.
Right. So he's all like, hey, do I have a female employee take photos of this girl's inappropriate work outfits? That way I'll have some evidence before I do this. Is it a good idea? So he's coming to us before this all happened.
Yeah, no, Mariana said, I wouldn't have pictures taken. That could make the situation worse. I would make a trip to HR and explain the situation. Then maybe they can assist you with addressing the issue further, because he's already had a couple of conversations with her. So, you know, and she's not getting the picture.
Right.
So I think, yeah, at this point, he needs to lay the groundwork that there is an issue he's trying to work on, but he's a little, you know, it's a sensitive, touchy subject.
All right. So Tanya, you say this is an easy one.
This is easy. I used to work in management. He's already got documentation, as he's had a few of the women already come in and complain about what she's wearing. So what he needs to do is he needs to write her up. And he needs to put the names of the people who have come into his office and stated that they are uncomfortable with what she's wearing, or have pointed out what she is wearing is inappropriate. So therefore, if she tries to turn anything on him, he's got written documentation Plus, he has the names of the other employees that have come into his office. And so if she tries to turn anything with higher management, they can go to those people, pull them aside, and say, hey,
right,
so-and-so has stated that you've come into their office complaining about this particular employee and what they've worn. Because those people will sing like canaries.
Oh, wow. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think that's really good. The key is, he's mentioned he's spoken with her, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that he has done his due diligence and made record of those conversations.
Yeah, and if not, maybe he should start.
He needs to start writing up documentation of the different interactions he's had with the inappropriate attire that she's been wearing in the office. And he also needs to document, because you stated that other women, mm-hmm. the older women, have come into him right there. He doesn't need to worry that this is going to turn, being that he is trying to handle this in a very professional HR diplomatic way. And he's following the rules of what
the company
is at stake.
Yeah,
exactly.
Appreciate it, Tanya. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Hey, Shay. So what's your thought?
So I agree with Tanya. You definitely want to document anything. I'm a nurse, so if it's not documented, it didn't happen. Documentation is very important. And like Tanya said, you know, mm-hmm. you have other people agreeing that this is not okay. But my thing is, he needs to have somebody with him when he has these conversations. So he has, you know, another person that can back him up and say, this is what happened. We had a conversation. Nothing inappropriate happened. You always have to have somebody with you.
Mm. All right, Shay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. Andrew, the love doctor.
You got it, brother.
All right, so your thoughts.
Hey, well, a couple things. He's probably already documented the first two conversations with her. I'm hoping that he has. If he hasn't, he needs to do so. But, Ben, you were spot on. What he needs to do now is he needs to go ahead and take it up to HR, because the fear is real, mm-hmm. what he's saying. Because what she can do is turn around and say the women in the workplace are jealous of her, yada, yada, yada. It is what it is. But document both conversations, send it up to HR and say, look, I've tried this. My fear is she's going to turn it around and you know, try to tell me that I'm sexually harassing her. So I want to make sure that I get all my ducks in a row before something like that happens. That way they're fully aware at HR above if she tries to do something like that. It's pretty easy. Then HR needs to step in and help him handle it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Kimberly is agreeing with Shay. In past office settings, I've worked in with a set dress code. When a dress code violation was addressed, they include an HR rep and manager, and at least one must be of the same gender as the employee.
Yeah, I do know
just
that.
Just to kind of cover your... Yeah, Wanda says the same thing. Involve HR. Make her sign write-ups every time you have to address her about it. HR is there to help you with your issues.
All right. Well, hopefully you got a lot of suggestions as to how to handle this moving forward.
Yeah, document, document, document. And at this point, yeah, it's time to get HR involved and have them sit in on the next conversation.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, keep us posted. That is group therapy. 99.7 DJX. Now, Kelly... would you say that you could barf on demand?
No, I can't. That is just something that has to occur naturally.
Yeah. Is there anything that you can do on demand? Can you belch on demand?
No, I've never been able to audibly belch. That is one thing I cannot do. Everyone else in my family can do it, mainly my husband and my daughter.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, no, can't do it.
I guess there is, if you are able to kind of puke on demand, there is actually a clinic that may be looking for you, looking for a barfer who can help people with an irrational fear of vomiting. I thought it was just kind of temporary, but apparently it sounds like it's a semi-permanent sort of gig. Where
I don't know of anyone that can just voluntarily puke.
Well, I guess there are, because the last professional puker retired recently. That's why there's the opening.
How in the world are you? This is so bizarre. There, like, the only time I'm able to do that is if I get like a stomach bug.
Now, I'm not going to I mean, well, I guess I could tweet out the link for you, but there's already over 100 people that have reached out and said that
they're
interested.
You're kidding!
Yeah.
Over 100 people could just puke on demand?
Yeah, exactly.
That's insane. Now, I will say this. When I was a kid, I ate too many peanuts and puked on my dad's shoe.
Yeah, but that's not...
But other than that, so I get, maybe I could, like, overindulge in something, overdo it, and then I could puke that way.
Mm.
Gonna be messy, though.
Yeah, see, I couldn't do that either. I don't think I could barf on demand.
No, and I don't really particularly want to eat so much of something that's going to make me puke.
I mean, we've done things on this show that have made you almost want to barf.
Yes.
I don't think that
but
you...
But then you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, we've eaten a lot of disgusting things.
For sure. So we'll tweet that out if you're interested. And if you're a little bit on the... You know, wanting to let your freak flag fly, and this may be the gig for you. All right.
That is the worst thing ever, though, to put your body through, is it not? Like, that is the number one thing that I do not want to have to do. Like, if I'm going to have to be sick in any way, puking is the top of my list of things I do not want to happen.
Well, see, it sounds like you might actually benefit from whoever gets hired, because that's what this company or this, you know, clinic is trying to help with, is that fear.
They're trying to make you feel better about puking?
I don't know.
It's so bizarre. I don't understand it.
I know, coming from a dentist's son, my dad's a dentist, that puking is bad for your teeth.
Right.
It'll rot your teeth.
Like acids and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So, anyways. It's 99.7 DJX. And how bad would this stink to be in the weekend's situation where, you know, you start a concert. You actually, like, start singing a concert. And then you realize your voice isn't going to make it.
Oh, man. That's a tough call for a professional performer to have to make.
I don't know what just happened when I screamed, but I just lost my voice.
Yeah, so he literally had to cancel his show in LA on Saturday after he lost his voice just a few songs in, and then ended up apologizing to the audience.
This is killing me, and I don't want to stop the show, but I can't give you the concert that I want to give you right now.
You know, and that's fair. He's, you know, just like, hey, what I want to do, I'm not going to be able to deliver what I want to do.
Exactly. You paid good money to see me at my best. And, you know, he hits some high notes. And if he doesn't have his falsetto anymore, it's not going to sound the way that he should. And he knows that. And I also respect the fact that he came out on stage to say that in person instead of on social media.
Yes. Or have, like, the stadium announcer say, you know, the show has been postponed or whatever. But yeah, he continued.
Better make sure everybody's good. Get your money back, but I'll do a show real soon for you guys. But I wanted to come out and personally apologize and not tweet it or Instagram it or whatever. I want you guys to know.
Yeah, so you...
Yeah, he said, without tweeting it or Instagramming it, I wanted you guys to know and hear it from me.
Yeah, and which, you know, respect. Respect for him for doing that. But, man, that is a tough situation to be in.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's tremendous pressure when it comes to, you know, how much a concert like that cost to put on, a tour. You got all the people that work on it that are depending on you, that depend on the money from that ticket sale, which he says he's going to refund everybody that was there that night. It was the second of two sold out shows in LA.
Yeah. So,
tough call.
Yeah. So even though that was a tough one, that, you know, he had to make that call, you know, I think that he did the right thing and, you know, approached it the right way. So,
well, yeah, and you don't, because you know there'd be people who'd be like, well, I went to the weekend show and he just did not sound great. And then, you know, people might say, well, I thought he sounded better than that, and might start thinking that he doesn't have as much talent, especially if they've never seen him before perform live before.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Kelly K.
You might have seen this video of a quadriplegic jet skiing.
Mm.
Good Morning America had it. Here's the story behind it. So that is Travis Gilmore in the video. His life was forever changed in 2020. He was just goofing around with friends, doing stuff that teenage boys do. And he fell and broke his C5 vertebrae, paralyzing him.
Mm.
He was just like, he lifted up a buddy by his waist, lost his footing, fell, and broke his neck.
Oh, dang.
And so he has been on a journey ever since. He had a surgery to fuse his spinal cord, was told that he'd never walk again, which was pretty devastating for someone that was so active.
It hit very hard thinking about my future of like, hey, I might not be able to walk down the aisle with my wife, or wow, I might not be able to throw the baseball with my son. It really hurt, but from now I've just been able to really recover and see that, you know, I'm still going to be able to do these things. It might just look different way. My support system, no doubt, is what got me through it. I've done the jet skiing, tubing behind a boat. I've done some basketball, adaptive hand cycling. It's hard, but I just want people to know that you can do it if you set your mind to it.
Man, what a good outlook.
So inspiring, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he did so many things. He's like, you know what? They're just going to look a little different, but I'm still going to do them.
Yeah.
You can see his story. The video is up at WDJX.com.
By the way, if you missed anything from the show, you can always catch up on the podcast. WDJX.com. Click listen. I'll tell you, we've had everything from interrupting people making out at the movie theater to classic phone taps to an HR issue that our listener didn't want to become an HR issue.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the employee I can't imagine is going to last much longer at that workplace, just from the way that she's reacted mm-hmm. to the feedback she's already had.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, don't worry if you missed everything or anything from the show, because you can always catch up with audio on demand right there with WDJX.com. Click listen. Okay, I love it. It's a short week. Tomorrow's Wednesday already. I know, it feels so good when it's a short week, because, you know, not only hopefully you had a yesterday off and you had a good long weekend, but then you get a short week on top of that. So,
yeah. And if you didn't, if you worked yesterday, we salute you.
We salute you even more, for sure. All right. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.